Welcome to the original Freemasons podcast, broadcasting from Waterbury, Connecticut, USA. Follow us on your favorite podcast app or join us live on YouTube. And as always, leave your aprons at the door, my brothers.
No, I didn't trade anybody. Kenny was just a bitch and got drunk because, again, we've talked about it last time. He can't hold his liquor.
Matt. What?
Can't see Matt.
Oh, right. Shit. I forgot we added. I got it.
Mm-hmm. See, we're going to have to back this bad boy up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now I'm doing this on the fly, see? Not yet. We're getting there.
A little bit.
Boom.
Oh, perfect.
Perfect.
Nice. Good job.
Working out. Oop.
Nah, my little ass leg got stuck and stuff. See, I'm all fucked up here. See? This is Ken's fault. Because he decided to not hold his liquor. Anyway, hello and welcome to the Freemasons Podcast with your hosts, Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry.
Brother Alex DeFranzo.
Brother Matt.
Yeah, this little thing ain't gonna work. It's gonna be banging and clanging the entire freaking time. So
yeah.
And today, episode 264, a midget, a hippie, and a biker walking to a bar. Mm-hmm. And we're just gonna be talking about just generalized stuff. First thing is pretty funny. We walked up here and Alex was like, "Can we talk about flat earthers?" Yeah, we can do that. Jared M., hey, made it to a live fraternal greetings. Glenn Burney, 213 in Maryland. Good morning, brothers. Finished my term as Master of Jackson the Lodge. Hey, congratulations. First day as a past master feels great. Usually does. Been a hot minute. Good to see you again, Josh McCray. All right, first thing we're going to do is we're going to go over some... Oh, Ken texting me. Let's see here. Yeah, Ken texted me. No, he wants to talk to me. Doesn't want to come up on the podcast. He's being a little... Never mind.
Mm-mm.
All right, so Apple reviews. Let's see here. Where the hell are we at here? Awesome podcast. 5-star review from John Smith Squared. Definitely love listening to the brothers at while I'm at work. Keep up the good work. Phenomenal podcast. MOAUSA. 5-star review. Took me a whole year to finish... this podcast. Now I'm wondering what I'm doing with my life. I need a hobby or something. So I became a Mason and got my MM degree February 2024. This podcast has helped me more than most. I can relate to all four of you, like Pale Ken, Zen Joe, Illiterate George, and love the mischief like the puppet. Cheers, brothers. Lance McGee, Michigan Everett Lodge 320. AI wrote this for me. P.S.
Nice.
Love this show. Ryan Fletch, 5-star review. As a fellow craft going into my third degree, this show is very informative, not only about the craft itself, but also the history. Keep it up, brothers. Yeah, we try from time to time, and then there's other times we're just, what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, but, you get a couple of those.
You know, which is fine, though, because I try to generally do, we try to, again, the whole purpose of this podcast was just show people that we're not freaking, you know, trying to take over the world, and we're just,
yeah,
normal, I mean, fucking normal guys. Normal guys. I just like to drink and hang out. And
I don't know a single Mason that could probably take over the world.
No. Maybe Messner. He's like,
he's like, know,
the brain someone... from Pinky and the Brain.
Oh my god.
Evil and maniacal. That was fucked up. But anyway, so what you been up to? What'd you guys have last night going on?
So last night, Matt brought his projector, and we got the pay-per-view for the UFC fight.
Nice.
Yeah, so from 6:30 until...
We had left here, I think, at like 1 a.m., a little after.
6:30 to 1 o'clock. Came, hung out, ate food, watched the fights. And yeah, it was a good time.
Cool. So, we got brother Matt up here with us. This is the first time we've ever met, right?
Yes, it is.
Never met before. Again, I'm a past master and a past district deputy, and it fucking has been. And I'm not around no more. So, and actually, my job makes it difficult to come to lodge, but I'll be probably seeing you a lot more, being that I'm part of this lodge now. Mm-hmm. We'll leave that right there. Let's hear about you. I want to hear about your Masonic career. What got you involved in Masonry? Tell me about your life.
Well, honestly, I've been a Mason now since... my days being in the military, I was in the Army for 5 years, and when I was in the Army, I kind of noticed the emblem and stuff, because I grew up right down the street from Harmony, one of the three family houses down the road.
Nice.
So I always saw this lodge and the emblem growing up. So when I was in the military, I saw the emblem, and I was like, I know that, and started looking into it and everything else, and then next minute I knew, I was knocking on the door, walking up to I joined Prince Hall Masonry through a military chapter. It was Joseph L. Wilson Lodge number 64 out of the most worshipful Grand Lodge out of Washington State. And that's where I started my Masonic career.
Shout out to our PHAs. Yeah. Nice.
Shout out to all my brothers with them. Miss you guys. Hope everybody, somebody sees this, and I'm out there. What's up?
Military guy? Did you fight in diarrhea stand or anything like that?
I was in Iraq.
Iraq.
Yep. That was fun.
Diarrhea stand.
So that was cool. Shout out to those dudes, the 172nd Infantry Brigade, out of we used to be out of Schweinfurt, but they're no longer there anymore. So
why not?
They folded the they did whatever, I don't know.
And then their charter.
We were a basic combat team out of Germany. They had I think the headquarters was down in Grafenwöhr. So I don't know. They disbanded everything once they started pulling all the Iraq and
right.
all that stuff. But yeah, and then I belonged to them for a little bit the rest of my military career. And then when I got out of the military in 2012, I came to Harmony, knocked on the door, and then I met Marty and Shane for my first two contacts.
Nice.
Marty, missed that man.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Good
and
dude.
Marty is the reason why I'm a Harmony member today and still in.
Shane's a good guy. I love Shane.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
He's usually the one where I'm like, hey, Shane. I send him a text. I'm like, hey, Shane, I want to tell this guy to go fuck himself. Well, how do I do it? He's like, don't do that.
Yeah.
He's usually the voice of reason. He's like, you can't do that, George. Like, he's like, they're entitled to their opinions. I'm like, yeah, all right. all right, so let's talk about it. You came to the door. Did you literally, legit knock on the door in meeting night?
No. It's
usually a scary thing for Masons on the inside. You hear a knock, everybody's like, what the f-?
No, yeah, right. I did a little research, Googled Connecticut Grand Lodge, figured out where I was, who to get in contact with, figured out who the secretary was, and then ended up reaching out to Marty, and then we set up a meeting, and we met here, and it was him and Shane. And we started talking, and then went through the entire admitting process and the investigation and all that stuff. And then Harmony Brothers voted on me. I came, and that was back in 2012, 2013. And then I've been back and forth between the lodge ever since. I lived in Texas for a couple years, backpacked all of Australia and stuff. So
oh shit,
I was in and out.
Mm-hmm. Why would you backpack Australia? There's nothing there but desert and dingoes.
And everything wants to kill you.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Shout out to anybody from Australia right now, dude. That is the best place.
Damn.
The place is wild. It's a good time.
Yeah, everything wants to kill you.
Yeah.
Fucking camel spiders the size of my hand.
Oof. Eating kangaroo steaks every day.
Yeah. Kangaroo's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know this, a running joke when we first started the podcast, there was a whole thing like of me fighting a kangaroo until I realized how big a kangaroo was. And I'm like, no.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I meant wallaby.
Koala bear.
Yeah. So anyway, so you get petition goes through. You're good to go. EA night comes. You show up. You're in a suit and tie, right? That's typically our thing. And then the dude says to you, all right, man, come in this room, get naked. What's going through your head?
Well,
I asked everybody this question. Like,
that, I didn't have. Were you referring to my Prince Hall days? Because that's when.
I'm talking about when you first got initiated into Freemasonry.
Yeah, dude, I was a little nervous. I was like, what's going on? What are we doing here? And he's like, you know, get naked, put this blindfold on. I was like, I guess we're going to get weird.
and for people listening who don't know, you don't get naked. We're playing off of that. You still wear, you know, your undergarments. You have to put on different things. But initially, they tell you, like, I stripped down to your boxers. Like, wait, what? Yeah. Huh? Now, mind you, when I took my EA, my entire lodge was all old people. So now I'm in a room as a 26, 25-year-old guy with 80-year-olds to, like, take your clothes off. I'm like, get fucked. I'm not doing that. No. Yeah. But anyway, so you go through the degree. What did you think of the first degree?
It was life-changing in the aspect of...
Information through a fire hose is the best way I can explain it.
Yeah. With the certain things that happened and everything and just how it all... I don't want to give too much away, how it all plays out, and then you get to that certain point, and it's bestowed upon you, and you're like, oh. It was surreal, seeing all that for the first time, and then being shown elsewhere around, and then getting more explained, and that just information through a fire hose. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, this is going to be an adventure. This is some stuff.
And then once you take your fellow craft, the EA starts to make a little bit more sense.
Right.
You know, it also makes even more sense, like we said, like when you actually watch it from the sidelines rather than going through it. Because when you're going through it, you don't see half of it, number one. Adam Brooks, he says, good morning, brothers. And he also says, Brad Zell, good morning, brothers from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Nice.
Adam Brooks also said, sick ETID shirt, bro. What the fuck is...
Every time I die. ETID. It's a band.
Oh, I thought they were making fun of Mr. Sequence over
here. No.
They're hexagons, bro.
You, with the esoteric shit. It's always hexagons or polygons or octagons or...
I love all the gons.
Fucking Megatrons. You're fucking all over the place.
You gotta be.
Fucking brain. I don't understand how it works, man. I'm usually just...
Purely runs on symbols.
Anger and pay attention. Your fucking mind is insane. I guess that's why you're a good tattoo artist. Speak of tattoos, god damn, you're covered in tattoos.
I got a couple, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no shit. See, I'd love to do all that. The only problem is this fucker charges way too much, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not true. He doesn't charge that much at all. So. We were in my kitchen literally during COVID getting tattooed. Up in Lodge getting tattooed.
Good times, man.
Yeah, Alex actually hasn't even tattooed me yet. I'm still waiting to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's turned into like Mason Tattoo Mondays.
Really? That's when you schedule them, or that's when everybody comes in for them, and it's just kind of like, what the
fuck?
That's
usually when I'll schedule them, because I'm off on Monday, so it's...
Oh, right.
Like, if one of my friends wants to get tattooed, I'll be like, oh, I'm off Monday, come then, you know?
Yeah, here's the problem though. So I got my daughter. She's 17. So he tattooed her, just something small. But now she's starting to get the itch now too.
Yeah.
Because I just texted him the other day. I'm like, she wants another fucking tattoo. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll set that up at some point. But all right, back to you.
Yeah.
So just excuse me for a minute. The audio might go crazy. I got to move this wire. I have a slight... I have a slight form of, what is it called?
Autism.
Did you say autism, you fucker? That was nicely done. Nicely done.
It's the tism.
I'd go more with like ADHD. Like certain shit drives me nuts. Like wires hanging in my face or stuff not organized. Yeah. Stuff drives me bananas. So anyway, back to you though, Matt. So take your EA degree, you're like, holy shit, that was a lot of stuff. We talked about the fellow craft. It's kind of like, oh, okay, I understand. Which the fellow craft's a little bit, would you say, slower paced? More informational rather than shock and awe, if you will.
Like more melodic.
Yeah. Less, I don't know what that means. I'm a fucking jarhead, dude. Like, I don't know what this means.
It's like more synchronized and less chaotic than like,
Informational is the way I would have went with, but you and Ken with the big fucking words.
Right? Beep, boop, beep.
Guys are like two thesauruses. It drives me nuts. But now comes the night. Mm-hmm. You're about to earn your bones. All right, so we... So I just want to talk about this while we're talking about ritual, because Alex is like, oh, I don't know if we could talk about ritual. I know every lodge is different, every mason is different. I've always had the mentality that the obligation is the secret part. Me, the ritual, I don't like giving it away just because I don't want to ruin somebody else's experience. But talk about, you know, certain aspects of masonry.
Well, they're published too, right?
They're published. Like, well, the History Channel's got a whole fucking documentary series about it, bastards.
Yeah, I mean, it's much different when you go through it, you know, even if you read it all or heard anything about
especially
it.
Especially the Order of the Temple. Yeah. That one is by far.
And I'm excited for that. I just got my Royal Arch a week or two ago.
When you take your Templar degree, your Order of the Temple, I need to be there.
Okay.
I need to be there because that degree is...
Nice.
But anyway, back to you. Master Mason degree. Let's talk about the expectation of when you went in.
The expectation when I went in was
the beginning of the degree. Like you're literally half bollocky bear ass yet again.
Yep.
You're walking in. You're like, oh, here we go again. Same shit.
Right. So you kind know. All right. So you're anticipating that, but now you don't know where else now you're being led to. You know what I mean? So you're like, all right, I know essentially what's going to happen, but I don't know what exactly is going to happen.
Right.
So, like, that's it. That was basically my mind in the forefront. I'm like, okay, I'm comfortable. I know where I'm at. I trust my brothers. I'm good. Yeah. But where am I going and what's going to happen?
Right. Well, halfway through, you take the break, right?
Right.
You get dressed. You're like, all right, here we go. And then something happens when you come back in.
Yeah. And then...
shit your pants moment. Glad you put your shitting pants back on?
I'm going to say yes, because I came also from a lodge where...
Now, this is a PHA.
We're PHA,
so
and we're
a little bit there. So we've talked about the differences between PHA and your I don't want to say regular lodge, because they're a regular lodge too, but your quintessential main structured lodge.
What you would find in
normally just floating around. PHA, those guys don't play. No. I've seen one degree and I'm like, God damn. Well, like, yeah. That was fucking wild to watch them. They are dead on.
They hit their angles.
No bullshit.
And especially being military, everything was dress.
Oh, yeah.
It was a D&C moment for...
They had the clickers on?
No, but it was... they used the staff well.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the one I seen, the dude had the freaking clickers on the feet, and I'm like... holy shit, it's Paris Island all over again. Because that was the most fearful sound, was when you heard it.
That was
the sound of a drill instructor coming down the fucking hallway, making a beeline right for your ass.
Shout out to my brother, Eubanks. He, his footwork was phenomenal. He was the senior deacon that put me through. And shout out to him if he's watching, if he ever sees this.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it was intense because you're in that type of environment. And then things were a little bit more on my side of the realm of boisterous. They use their big boy voice.
Big boy voices, yep. Mm. Yep.
So that was the most intimidating part, because you're coming in, but you got some dude that you, in the beginning and going through the EA, you had no idea who these people were. It's scarier. And then once you meet them, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
But you still know this dude now, and you know...
Now they're not being so nice.
Right, right. And, and then he's...
They're like, oh, shit!
Okay.
Because it's like you go through the first degree, and it's so overloaded and overstimulating with information, and then the dust settles during your FC.
Mm-hmm.
So then by your third degree, you're like, okay, like, what do you... You know, what could I even possibly expect?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you get asked how the hour goes.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Right. And then you get asked again. You're looking around like, somebody help me? And there's nobody there to help you. And then the third time, it's got a little bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? Pep to it, if you will.
Oh, yeah. It's got a little pepper in it. Yeah.
And then they're like, go get this fucker.
Mm-hmm.
So, You go through the rest of that. We're going to leave it at that. You'll find out when you go through it. And what do you got going on? You're like, holy shit.
Pretty much.
That's what I have.
Just holy shit, dude. Just a wild experience. And then, you know, it's all said and done. The dust settles. Everything's done and over. And then it was just, I don't know, the most, I say it's the most humbling experience I've ever felt in my life. I was like, holy shit.
I tell the story about when I went through my MM, and particularly that part. Mm. You're wearing a blindfold. You don't know what's going on. But so the first time it happened, my nervous reaction of not knowing what's going on was I laughed.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the worst fucking thing I could have possibly done, because the second time, all I said, so the Mason who did the part of number Trey, Trace, he wore a tuxedo with sneakers. And that's all I ever remember, was through the bottom of the blindfold seeing the sneakers coming at me. And let me tell you, I went off the floor. Boom! Put me in the air. And I'm like, holy shit. The laughter stopped at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm like, what the fuck is going to happen to me?
Yeah.
So that was a wild experience. But then afterwards, I found that after it's all done, you know, the deed is done, all that stuff happens, they pull the blindfold off, and it's like, now I have this weird where I'm trying to pay attention to the aftermath of it.
Right.
But I'm still jacked up. Like, I couldn't. It took me a while to calm down. So I actually don't remember much of what happened after that, because I was still kind of like, in my head, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it took me a couple, watching the degree, or watching the people who went after me, because I was done short form for the first. I don't know how you were done. Because of the short form, long form, you know the differences between the two and all that stuff.
Yeah, no, it was long form.
It was long form. You got the long form? Yeah. So I was short form. So now I'm sitting there and I'm watching it and I'm trying to process what the fuck just happened. But that was a wild experience. So, you're now a full-fledged member of the Lodge. You learn your ritual. You do all your stuff. Do you ever take an officer position?
Yeah. In Prince Hall, and especially military, you kind of advance through the chairs relatively fast, because with people just moving, you know, PCS in and doing all that kind of stuff and going to the field. So you kind of need people sitting in chairs. So you're, I mean, I was like raised as a Master Mason, and then I believe maybe a month later, I was sitting as a Senior Deacon, learning all of it, memorizing it, and then...
That's baptism by fire right there.
A couple months later, I sat as the junior warden, and then I was the junior warden up until I left, until I, you know, ETS'd out.
So you advanced fast, but not for the same reason I advanced fast. I advanced fast because there was 5 members of my lodge, and all of them were over the age of 80. So they were looking for bodies to fill. You advanced fast because there was just a constant rotation of guys coming in and out.
That was it. To keep us afloat,
cohesion,
and
everything
going. You just gotta go and sit down. And I mean, it was a lot. It was definitely a lot, because, you know, being in the military, so you got you know, military life, and then you have to, you know, study your ritual, and everything else. So it was a lot, but it was.
Now I was in the military as well. I was in the Marine Corps. I also found there's a lot of downtime. Like, when I was in the Marine Corps, there's a lot of downtime. There's 90% of the military career is sitting on your fucking ass. Again, I never went overseas. However, did you find that you had enough time to study ritual and get all that stuff with the downtime?
And then it also worked out, too, because, like, there was a pretty big brother presence between in my unit. And it was cool how the Prince Hall was, because where I was at, I was stationed out in a K-town in a Kaiserslautern, Germany. And in that area, there was, we had Washington State, who I was a part of. I believe it was Texas State. And I want to say North Carolina State, and the Grand Lodges of Prince Hall. So
nice.
You had these different factions. And so we would have parties together, and like there'd be joint. So... And then you didn't realize how many brothers there actually were.
Right.
So on your downtime, you're actually hanging out, and a dude that you didn't even realize that was a brother with, you know, North Carolina, that you met at an all white party.
Right.
So then now next day you're in his barracks room studying a ritual together, and you're, it was cool. So
That's
you had a lot of And it had a lot of interaction with different districts and different, you know, way that people did things. And it was pretty cool to see.
I want to keep touching on that because we have a lot of people who are military who listen to this. We actually have a real slow feed today. Typically, we got like 20, 30 freaking people, at least, you know, watching everything. So whatever. It's a nice day out. It's not fucking pouring like they said it was going to. I want to be a weatherman. That's what I want to do. I want to change my job. Because I want to get paid six figures to be fucking wrong all the time. Because they called for thunder and lightning and the gates of hell to open up last night. And then, poof, nothing. Didn't even rain. Isaac Leese, good afternoon, brothers from England. Yeah, we got a lot of English boys in here, too. Anyway, I want to touch on the military things. We get a lot of people who are in the military. They're like, oh, I'm looking for something to do. You know, we had our whole MOVE campaign, which is... where Masons were reaching out to military. I can't remember what Ken's acronym. It was MOVE. Can't remember the acronym. This was years ago. But we were looking for primarily the military guys to join them because there's nothing to do after you get out of the military. Yeah. At least I found that camaraderie that you had in the military, it kind of goes away.
100%.
You lose it. You know, you don't talk to people. I mean, a lot of the guys you were in the military with, they live in, you know, Indiana, or they're out in Missouri, or you know, they're all over the place. So when you come back home, finally, there's really nothing. And that's, I'm assuming, why you eventually made your way here at Harmony,
right?
Is because you're looking for that again. You're constantly looking for that. So when you are in the military, right? So I just want to say, you ever seen the show Generation Kill?
Yes, I've seen
that. Is the most accurate depiction of military life. Hands fucking down. Like, the humor, the way they treat one another, the way they talk to one another, it is, I mean, the most accurate I've seen. It's freaking hilarious on top of that, too. Nice. But there's a lot of ball busting in the military, right? So, I got two questions for that. Did other military members in the Army, I know the Marine Corps was just constant ball busting. You got your balls busted for everything. It didn't matter what it was. I was called fucking Goldberg, damn Yankee, because I'm from the North. You know, most of them are, would you agree? I don't know how the Army is, but 90% of everybody from the South. South of the Mason-Dixon line. Ken's going to break my balls about that, too. Yeah. One time I call it Mason-Dixie line. Mason-Dixon line. But 90% of them from the South, right? So they called me the damn Yankee. They said with my head shaved, I look like Goldberg, probably because I got a big-ass nose and a misshaped head. You know what I mean? I'm nowhere near Bill Goldberg because he's a monster. But that was my nicknames. Being in the military, being in Mason Lodge, they bust your balls about being a Mason? Or was it kind of like, it was like them boys? You know what I mean? Oh, those are the Mason boys. You know what I mean? How did other military members view you as being a Mason? Or they didn't?
I don't honestly.
They didn't really say anything?
I don't really, I mean, it wasn't. Yeah, I don't know. I really didn't ever even pay attention.
I'm only asking because one of the things when I was in the military, when I was in the Marine Corps, was they were called Bible bitches.
Okay.
These are the guys that would go to church and you were made fun of in a sense that you were like overly religious.
Oh,
so
yeah,
you're
gonna get chopped up.
You're gonna get chopped up, right? So you're like
I feel like it was you got a lot of goofy looks and shit, because like if we came out and you know we're wearing our tuxedos, you're going, you know, we're going to head to lodge, and we got, you know, three dudes walking out of the barracks in a tuxedo, and everyone's like, "What the fuck is going on?"
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like that type of shit. You
right,
got
right,
like,
right, right.
Like, oh yeah, we're Masons, we're brothers over, you know, our you know, where our lodge was at was over on Pulaski Barracks. So we're like, hey, we're, you know, going over Pulaski. And they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
We never really.
I mean, out in normal civilian life, and we get called baby killers and freaking,
I never experienced that.
We get called everything in the freaking book. So I didn't know if it was like played upon when you're in the military, you get called the same thing. It was like, or looked at funny, you know.
The coolest parts, though, I would say, is that I experienced personally was just the fact of being a lower enlisted person. And then you stumble upon a brother who may be higher ranking and it kind of like alleviates that little bit of stress with the rank.
You have any officers that were Masons? How was that like meeting them on the level when usually you're kissing their ass?
The worst one of my
Hey, Brad.
He was a chief warrant officer.
Oh.
My old master. And so, then, you know, you see them out in uniform.
Yeah.
And it was funny because we would show up in uniform.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, and then when you walk inside, and then it's like, nope, no, none of that here. We're yep. meeting on the level.
Yep, yep, yep.
And then you go outside and you're saluting. And it's, yeah, yeah. You know, it's just, it puts funny things, like it, the life yeah, in perspective yeah. a little bit. So it's cool because right. it gives you a place where you could actually meet these people who you would be intimidated with. Like you're yeah. growing up on yeah. a Command Sergeant Major and you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. You didn't play with Sergeant Majors. At least for us, it was Gunny and above. You didn't right. fuck with a Gunny.
Right.
Gunny will tear your ass to shreds.
But then in Lodge, now you're on the level and you don't, that's, so yeah. it was a humbling experience because yeah. you're like, all right, cool, like. We are men. We're yeah. all just we all put our fucking yep. pants on every day. You just yeah. happen to be in the game a little bit longer than me.
Yep, yep. The collar pins come off, and it's just so. Next question. I see it on Amazon all the time, and it's just a thing. Like we talk about morale patches. I got morale patches all over the place. Actually, I just started High Court in I'm a judicial marshal in Connecticut here, so. I just got my locker, so I got a Amazon sticker coming of Michelangelo, and it says "Cowabunga." It is. I'm putting that shit right on my locker.
Nice.
So
I have that exact same one in my bag.
So there is a morale patch out there of American flag and a half of it's like split in half. It's an American flag, and then the other half of it is the square and compasses. Mm-hmm. Is that something you were like allowed to wear or anything like that? I mean, I know you got your unit patches, but I'm saying like, is that something that like,
no,
that's not a real thing.
No,
basically.
Not
a real thing. Okay. No.
That's mostly, it's a civilian morale patch. Something
civilian
brought,
morale patch. Okay. Know, I know, I don't know, but I'm pretty confident that the canine units or the military police dog ones, they have that one. One of them is a paw with a half an American flag.
Hmm. Probably, I don't
know. Yeah, so I didn't know if that was actually a thing, like you right. were allowed to wear
no,
on
no,
your...
No, nothing no, like okay. that at all.
Fuck you, Amazon, for deceiving me.
I think the only thing that I did per like uniform that I changed Masonic related was I put on my dog tags. I changed my dog tags to Freemason.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. And yeah.
Makes sense.
Again, we'll say here again, Freemasonry is not a religion.
It's not.
It's not, right. But that's pretty cool that you were able to put it on
yeah,
your dog
I
tags.
I switched that because I was like, well, can I? And they let me do it. And I was like, well, that's why I fucking did it. That's exactly how it
that
works.
Makes sense, though.
Mine actually said no preference. I was Methodist, but I'm like, meh.
Yeah, so,
right.
but yeah, I mean, that was...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, you still keep in touch with the brothers that you were...
I did until I deleted all social media. I don't have any
social media. Oh, here, here. Me here. Too. Nice. With the of course, I'm fucking live here, but yeah. but I don't have any social media. My name's not anywhere
so,
for multiple fucking reasons.
Yeah, I deleted all social media, so I'm not on anything anymore. But I mean, I wish I could. I wish I still, you know, talk to those guys. So, I miss everybody, but... Yeah, I haven't talked to him.
Informational wise, I was kicked off social media because I belonged to something that Facebook deemed was nefarious. So I got thrown off of social media. I ran for Burgess in Naugatuck, politician, basically, town councilman. And so I brought social media back in, put my face, put my name up there again. And when. Certain people found out that I was at a certain place at a certain time that's still certainly talked about. All fucking hell broke loose and I got called every name in the book. I mean, I couldn't write anything without being called names and everything. And I said, you know what? Fuck this. And I got rid of social media and I never looked back since. And I love it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only thing I'll keep is TikTok. I got TikTok. I do have TikTok, and that's only because I like watching funny videos. But as for putting my opinions or my good. I'm good.
Don't mess with any of it, man.
Yeah, I'm better off. I have to. Just
you have to for your job work, because yeah. you post all your freaking hexagons and shit on there. But but no, I'm all set. I'm good. I got nothing. I don't want to. I'm gonna be a ghost. I'm gonna be a gray man.
Yeah. Get her off.
And I plan on staying that way.
I would too if I didn't need it.
Yeah. Everything is through the podcast, and that's all it's about. You want to get a hold of me? You know how to do it. Patreon. It's the only way I talk to people.
Nice.
D. Discord. We have our own Discord channel. It's, I mean, you want to talk about a bunch of degenerate fucks. That's where you want to go.
Yeah, I don't even mess with any of that, dude. I'd stay completely ghost.
Yep. Nope. I like ghost, and that's, I mean, once my pension cures and I'm good and I got my full ride of medical and dental through my job and everything, I'm going to be like, I keep saying, I'm going to be Ted Kaczynski. I'm going to live in fucking Lincoln, Montana in a goddamn shack with nobody around. I'm going to grow my beard out if I can grow a beard out, because I'm apparently a little ass kid and can't grow a beard. This one, you're already freaking halfly Grizzly Adams.
All leprechauns grow beards.
You. I see what you did there. Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm going full off the grid. I want nothing to do with nothing. All right. So, anything else you want to add to your Sonic career? We'll go over. So you joined Harmony.
Yes.
What are you doing here in Harmony? Anything yet?
I'm a senior deacon now in Harmony, working my way through the chairs. And, that's where I'm at now. I'm doing the thing. Just kind of going through the motions and serving when I can and doing what I can.
Yeah, I kind of bowed out of most of what I was doing at Morningstar for a plethora of reasons. But before that, I was working for Department of Homeland, doing that stuff, my job schedule. So I've been kind of off the grid. I joined Harmony,
a month ago, a month and a half ago, probably.
Yeah, something like that. No, longer than that. I got voted in. I just haven't been active because my shift that I work is fucking banana sandwich and I'd never make it here. But now that I'm in high court, I'm gonna start coming around. But of course it's July, so what happens in July?
We go dim.
But
it in the fall,
once we come back, I'll be more active. Nice. I'll be around raising hell and mischief and mayhem.
It's gonna be a good time. We got a couple good years
coming. Nice lodge, a lot of, you know, camaraderie, and everybody's always, you know, when I started doing this podcast and everything, I was really trying to get Morningstar members to come up, do it with me. I wanted it to be a Morningstar only thing, and then they just didn't show up. Nobody showed up. They stopped showing up. It was me basically on a mic just spewing venom the entire time. Not at them, just in general, because I'm generally pissed off 90% of the time. But, man, let me tell you, dude, every fucking time we've recorded here at Harmony, me, Ken, and Joe, somebody's walking through the door. Bombardier or Sharky or, you know, Matt, you're up here today. And it's freaking nice to actually, a lodge is coming up here and kind of like, hey, I want to pop in. I want to see what's going on here. You know what I mean? It's just nice. You're just you.
Always around.
I'm going to get to you momentarily because I know you want to get into your little thing.
That's cool.
And I think it's going to be funny as hell. But, yeah, man, I'm pleasure to meet you, dude.
Pleasure to meet you, man. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me on the show. It's cool.
Yeah. I mean, if Ken would have come.
The podcast is great.
Even if Ken would have come, I probably would have had him stuffed aside. He'd been sleeping over there in the couch.
Yeah.
Can't hold his booze. I mean, this is like,
He held
second?
It.
Oh, he held it. Yeah,
he held it.
Too long, I think.
Right, that's the problem. What are you going to do, you know?
I love breaking Ken's balls.
Can't
because you realize it's the last two times. Last two
Have
times,
it
yeah, the last two times. Last
same
time,
reason?
Same fucking reason. That's why Bombardier is sitting right there.
What was last time? The Ben Franklin?
No, the Killdozer. We did the Killdozer episode.
But what was he doing the night before that?
Yeah, I think it was your
Ben Franklin
or whatever, or the George Washington, whatever the hell it was.
Ben Franklin.
Yeah. So yeah, no, he.
You know.
Being rally. You'd think him being like 7'8" tall, and yeah, he'd be able to like hang a little bit longer, you know. Poor Kenny. Poor Ken. What did you call him before when we were on the phone talking about Ken?
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, you called him something. It was like Ken something or whatever. I can't remember what the hell you called
Kendrickman?
Him. Kendrickman. There you go. Kendrickman. All right. So anyway. All right, Alex. You got the floor. I know you wanted to talk about something.
It's just crazy how, like, every day, it's
Bernie, listen, and this is where we go off the rails and it turns into a bar conversation.
Yeah, this is where it gets out there. But every day, should be joining Royal Arch in October. Oh, nice, congratulations.
Isaac Lee, so, yeah, you joined the Royal Arch.
But, like, you know, I have a lot of friends outside of Masonry, and I don't really, like, I mean, if they have, like, certain questions that I can answer, I'll give them, like, you know, the rundown.
I love how you're trying to keep your temperament right now.
Dude, I am. Oh, it's bad, bro.
He's twisted so his ring like
yeah, he's twisted, but he's trying not to.
I'm trying to be good about it, or at least start
He's trying
good.
To keep it Masonic right now. He's like, yeah, so I got a lot of friends, and
and they'll send me stuff, they'll be like.
You hear the quiver in his voice because he's getting pissed off.
It's something like somebody will send me something about the firmament or something. And they're like, oh, you know, like this guy, Admiral Byrd, was a Mason and he went to Antarctica. And we all about- just live in a firmament. The earth is flat and it's just an ice wall around us. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, but then you'll get stuff like Hollow Earth theory. And they're like, oh, the Masons made the Hollow Earth. And it's like, what, dude? And people just send me crazy stuff. And just the idea of flat Earth is absolutely ridiculous. I don't even, it's like prehistoric bullshit. What are you doing? You know, like put any substance in a vacuum and it's going to form a ball. Every other thing is a ball.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, bubble, anything. You go into space and you like squeeze out some water or spill some coffee, it's just going to
form a ball. Congeal. I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
Interesting. So you're telling me there's no flat Earth? There's no hollow Earth?
No. Damn. I don't think so. I mean, what do I know? I'm not a scientist. I'm an artist. But like, if I had to go on my best judgment based off of just what I've seen, like simple mathematical rules, like... The Earth isn't flat.
All right, so we'll go through. We'll pull this apart. I'm doing this for two reasons. One, we're going to talk about it, and two, I like watching Alex fucking cringe. So when Joe Zanino comes up, you know Joe Zanino.
Yeah.
I love blowing up his shit. I love saying things in order to get him to pop his top because he's Mr. Zen. He's very
And
I poke the bear all the time just to try to get him to blow his stack. Usually it's chili cook-offs or but I love watching people lose their shit. It's just my thing. I love watching people lose their fucking mind. So I'm going to try here with Alex. So you're telling me that we're not looking up at a hologram?
I mean, I wouldn't say that. I kind of do believe like that it's not like really a Euclidean or like spatial like object. It's like changing, but like it's definitely more round than it is flat. Like,
okay, all right.
You know, like, I mean, sure, you could say everything is like dimensional based in like whatever kind of like layered explanation you want to give, but I don't know, people just, it's like, I think because I meet a lot of people through my job and I like post somewhat actively about masonry,
yeah,
that when somebody sees like a video of, you know, like whatever, like Bohemian Grove or the moon landing being faked and Buzz Aldrin was a third.
Isaac Leese.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
He just wrote.
Yeah, did you know he faked the moon landing as well? Yeah. Stuff like that.
There's so much shit about faking
like
the moon landing.
Like the Knight Templar thing in Oreo cookies. It's like, I'm sure you've seen
that.
Yeah,
I've seen that, yeah.
And I mean, and it's...
Take it over one snack at a time.
You know, I will say this, though. Humans have an interesting mind. They try to find symbology in everything. They try to find, I mean, it's a pursuit of looking for something more than yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So you're always going to try to look for something like people who are like, oh my God, it's a miracle. Oh my God. You know, I can't believe this happened. This was a sign. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
People are always looking for something more than themselves. Mm-hmm. So I can understand why, you know, but do I think that
it's almost like
people have a pessimistic mind, right?
Yeah,
most people have a pessimistic mind. They absolutely don't look at positives. They're looking for things that could be nefarious,
right?
And that's kind of like your defense mechanism as a human being. Like, listen, Joe Rogan said it best: we are fucking apes. We are territorial apes that, you know, we're always on the defense of ourselves. You know,
And it like becomes uninteresting when people what it is. They're like, oh, what is it? And you're like, oh, it's like charity, fraternity, fellowship, hanging out. And they like can't comprehend, like they don't want to believe that that's what it is. So when somebody like adds a square and compass to like some conspiracy video for like clickbait,
then they're like, oh, it's got to be that.
And here's the problem, though, is that these same people are not them. Okay.
Right, right, right.
But the people who click onto their videos and watch your videos, they're looking for something more to life. They're trying to understand life, right?
Right.
But they get led down this fucking rabbit hole. So mm-hmm. I'll tell you a funny story. I won't use names. I was in a courthouse, okay? Yep. And this inmate was, I mean, he was clearly mental health. But again, he must have drank the freaking Kool-Aid. And dude was convinced. Now, he had no idea about anything, but he's talking about Masons. They're controlling the world. They're doing this. They put him in jail, blah, 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 blah. Well, ironically, I was on transport. Yeah, you looked right at it. Ironically, I was on transport. Mm-hmm. Now, I need to use my hands to cuff him to get him in the truck. And what did he spot? Right on my forearm. This dude blew his lid. Because now he's seen my square and compasses. And this instantly justified what he was saying literally all day. And this dude wigged the fuck out. I mean, lost his shit. Because in his mind, he's been watching all these videos about Masons controlling the world. Now you spot my tattoo, and I'm the marshal who's putting you in handcuffs. I mean, it validated everything he thought. Mm-hmm. And he went fucking ballistic. Like, lost his shit. Like, had to restrain him, the whole thing. Eventually, we ended up leaving him, and another van came to get him. But, I mean, lost his fucking mind about this stuff. And again, it goes to the whole, you know, looking for a meaning of life, but seeing everything is nefarious and everything is bad. And
you're going to draw that to you, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could say, like, his mind, like, manifested you being the one to put him in cuffs just because he believes that's how the world works so much. It just, like, it's the irony of it, right?
Other problem is you're never going to convince somebody who's already set in their ways. You're never going to. I mean, mm-hmm. We're not going to get down this rabbit hole, but, I mean, the debate.
Yeah, right.
The political debate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an 84-year-old man, and I feel bad. I want to say this. I want to feel bad.
Yeah.
He's, if you watch a debate from when he was in 20, it was actually a pretty cool. They did a split screen of President Biden in 2014 when he did a Democratic primary debate. And now you see him this year and you're like, what the fuck? Yeah, like, it's totally clear in President. Person. But there are people that are saying, no, he's not. He's fine. You're never going to convince them, like, what you do. They're just set in their ways. And the same thing goes for this. You can sit there and tell them, no, it's not. And they're just going to be set in it. And this is kind of where I feel like the flat earthers are, you know, rounding it out. You're never going to convince them.
Even when people...
I listened to a podcast where this dude, they were literally asking him. They weren't even mocking him, but they're, you know, the hosts were they're shooting their shots. You know what I mean? Like, well, what about the sky? Well, that's an ice wall. Well, how'd the ice get up there? Oh, well, it was a projection. That's why I said the whole projecting thing.
Okay, yeah.
Well, what's the sun? That's just a giant spotlight. You're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like,
yeah, like when you have to overcomplicate the theory to the point of like every detail.
Occam's razor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's just crazy.
Hollow Earth.
I'd say it's, I mean, I believe it could be a Hollow Earth theory over Flat Earth, too. I'll
see some asshole out there with a shovel up in the Arctic Circle. I'm going to get there.
I mean,
I don't know, man.
It's crazy. It's like as soon as people find out like one person is like a Mason, like, okay, just because Admiral Byrd went to Antarctica.
And he also was talking about how he's seen a hole. I mean, listen, I'm not trying to. I mean, you're playing a game of percentages here. What's the percent that this could be true?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what's the percent that this could actually be true? I mean, there's a 1% chance. All right, so you can't completely rule it out.
Right.
But on the same time, is like we have fucking technology with cameras and Hubble telescopes that can see millions of light years out into the freaking space.
Mm-hmm. I mean, could see the moon is round with my telescope, a $99
We have
telescope.
Satellites. Like, I can drive, I mean, until I run out of land, but I can drive all the way around the world. You can fly. I mean, Amelia Earhart, I mean, granted, she went, you know, but, I mean, we have flights that travel all the way around the world. If the world was flat, eventually you're going to look down and go, what the fuck? Like, it's gone. Like, this isn't the Langoliers.
Yeah.
That was a Stephen King reference. Anybody seen the movie Langoliers? Where they like went back in time to this portal, but like the earth started like disappearing like underneath them because they were going back.
That sounds cool.
Oh, so, yeah. It was an old ass movie. It was fucking terrible.
Wow.
Balky from fucking an 80s show was on. It was terrible. But anyway, I digress. You know, you're never going to run out of land underneath your feet if you fly on a fucking plane that goes around the earth. Like, just get on a fucking airplane.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so, I don't know. Let's see here. It's also as well, the people that can't or won't become Masons, their mind will run wild. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I didn't even realize, like, the Knights of Columbus have so much contention with Masons.
Knights of Columbus was created to divert people from joining Freemasonry.
Right. Like,
that was actually the whole purpose.
And he was like, oh, yeah, there's, like, a whole ritual that you pretty much, like an exorcism ritual to like cleanse you of being a Mason to be in the Knights of Columbus or something.
And you know the funny thing is?
I was like, so you're just letting somebody tell you your last obligation is void.
Yeah.
This obligation now.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the difference?
See, and here's the kicker of it all, right? Knights of Columbus has 3 degrees.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Their uniforms look very similar to Knights Templar.
Oh, okay.
Cape, hat.
And they even do the whole black ball.
Yep. They do the whole black ball Bible. Yeah. And here's the best part of it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite a few people who are Knights of Columbus are Freemasons.
Really?
Yes.
How can you be both, though, if they make you, like, revoke one obligation for the other?
Well, how could you be a Mason, though? You know, how could you tell about the Mason secrets? They'll cut your head off and pull your heart out. Nobody fucking does that. Yeah, there's going to be nothing. They're going to find out you're a Mason. They're going to go, oh, well, our membership is kind of low, so we'll keep them.
Right.
Just pay our dues.
Right.
Pay your dues. As long as you pay.
That's it, dude.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nobody gives a shit.
No, yeah, that's a good point.
Nobody cares. Like, and again, these things, these organizations that we belong to, they teach life lessons. Mm-hmm. You can pull stock from anything. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, that's the whole message, right?
It's pretty much what it is. I don't know. There's so many organizations that have so many. The Elks, the Eagles, like all these things are. They're modeled off of Freemasons. Like, I actually walked up to a dude in a parade and I shook his hand. I'm like, oh, what lodge do you belong to? He's like, I'm an Elk. Because he was wearing the same fucking regalia and necklaces as a Freemason.
Right.
Same exact shit. I just didn't notice the symbols on the necklace. But it's the same. The collars of the Elks look exactly like the Scottish Rite collars that, like, Emeritus.
Like the MSA.
MSA's wear. Yeah. Same fucking thing. Why? That tells you one of two things. One, either they modeled off of Freemasons, or Freemasons were intricate in the development of what they were.
Right.
It's all intertwined. Yeah. Like, it doesn't, you know.
Yeah, Freemasonry is the trunk of the fraternal trade.
Because we're the oldest organization.
Right.
Everybody kind of seen Oddfellows. Fucking go down the list. It's Oddfellows were 90% Masons.
Mm-hmm.
Same damn thing, different ritual.
Yep.
I mean, Christ, what's his nuts? The Illuminati, Adam Weishaupt. He was a Freemason. When he created, I want to be clear, he was not a Master Mason. He was only made it to Fellowcraft. But when he started the Illuminati, this was during the whole where the secret societies were like the
1880s.
Thing. Age of the Golden Dawn or whatever it was. 1880s and everything. This was like the hopping thing to do. It's like the social media of back then.
Right.
So he left Freemasonry and started the Illuminati and basically modeled it off of the same shit.
Right.
As a matter of fact, the guy who wrote his rituals was a fucking Mason. They just tried doing something different. You know what I mean? I mean, he ended up fucking getting arrested and he's trying to overthrow governments and shit. But it's pretty much the same thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What else you got on Flat Earther? Come on. Or anything else. Come on. I'm trying to get you to pop here, and you're just not doing it.
I'm trying to think of a good one. It's mostly, the other one is, like, the Terrence Howard stuff. Did you see the Terrence Howard Joe Rogan stuff? Have you seen that?
I watched it. I wanted to go back and, like, dissect it a little bit more because there was a lot of information that he spit out. But, yeah.
It was pretty good.
It was good.
like about sacred geometry and stuff, but even some of his stuff was like people were just chewing him up in the comments.
And I
was
I believe it.
Here we go.
Is he a Freemason or
no? I don't think so. I mean, like Randall Carlson's a Freemason, and he talks a lot about similar things, like you know, sacred geometry, the flower of life, like Fibonacci. All the ratios and stuff.
Yeah. Again, you're more Mr. Esoteric. I'm not. I'm kind of more just, my brain isn't wired like you. You feel like you're the same way. You're just sitting here just going like this.
Mm-hmm. I know some of it. I don't know. I'm not going to.
You know what I got to do?
I'm not going to say something that sounds stupid. That's yeah, where I'm at.
Pretty much. And that's, you know, I'm just trying to egg Alex on to get him pissed off. But what I need to do is I need to get somebody up here who's got the same, I don't want to say warped because there's a lot of people in who are into the esoteric part of Freemason, but I got to get you up here with somebody else who's very esoteric and let you guys just nerd out because.
Well, I met, do you know P.D. Newman?
P.D.?
P.D.
Oh, P.D. Newman.
Yeah.
I read a book.
I think that's his name.
Right? He wrote a book.
Yeah, the Alchemically Stoned.
Yes, Alchemically Stoned, the psychedelics and Freemasonry. Yeah, we did a whole thing on that.
Angels in Vermilion. I met him because he released his book, Angels in Vermilion. So Connecticut Masonic Education got him to come to a lodge in New Milford, I think.
Okay.
Old stone church, like super cool lodge.
Yes.
Crazy stained glass windows and
yes,
stuff.
Yes, I know. That's right on the main drag there in Milford. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So he came there and brought his book and gave his whole lecture on like how like DMT is in Acacia and like how like some of the things correlate and stuff. And when I after the lecture was done and I got to talking to him a little, we were like going back and forth with that. I'll send him stuff still occasionally.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. There's a lot of correlation, even like the mushroom and everything like that.
Yeah, though. Like the mushroom and the cross and all
that. It's pretty wild, all the correlation and everything. I will probably never do DMT. I am afraid of my own fucking demons. So, like, I don't want my alter ego to come out and fucking eat me and then I turn all freaking weird and shit.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta dance with those fuckers.
Yeah. I keep them locked away in the closet. My demons are pretty deep. I'm good. I'm good. You stay in there. But anyway, Matt, glad to have you up here, man.
Thank you very much.
Actually, while we're talking about the military thing, there's a dude who's literally, if you ever listen, I don't know if you're in the military, you ever heard of Sean Ryan's show?
Oh yeah, great.
Love that show. That dude is good, dude. He just had a guy on, and I'm going to find it because I don't want to fuck his name up. What the hell was it? Give me a second because I'm going to try to find him. It was a dude right here. Yep. Nick Irving. He was known as the Reaper, the Sniper.
I know the name. Yep. Yep.
He's a Freemason.
Really?
They talked about it in his last episode.
Oh, shit.
So I'm going to see if I can get a hold of this dude and have him up here.
Oh, that would be sweet.
Because, I mean, I don't know if you were, I don't know if you actually did combat. Did you combat pop rounds?
Yep.
You know, poppy grapes. You know, I'd love to have that conversation about, you know, because that's for anybody. That's a tough thing to navigate as a person, number one, because they say when you take a life, it changes you forever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, how do you not marry the two, but how do you differentiate, you know, between that and being a Mason in your morals and standards, even religious. You know what I mean? Like, that's, you've kind of followed what we're getting at here. Like,
yeah.
How do you separate the two? You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't imagine a serial killer being a freaking Freemason and being like, oh, yeah, I love life. No, nope, you're kind of a fucking serial killer. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? So, and this dude, anybody in the military, but more so a sniper. Like, that's.
But it's, then again, it's your job. That's what you're trained to do. That's what you're,
yeah, no, like you're
following orders at that point.
I mean, you're absolutely right. You know?
So you gotta, as long as you can sleep at night.
I mean, you make a valid point.
I mean,
you make a valid point.
That wasn't my job. I don't know. I can't put myself in that in those shoes. But I mean, that's where my head would go.
Yeah, right. Just wondering if Freemasonry would help you with that. You know what I mean? It's particularly, I'm kind of the reflection chamber, chamber of reflection.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we had one at Morningstar where we made you sit in front of a mirror and come to terms with yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That might be difficult for, say, somebody whose sole job was to, you know.
I mean, but like
it could
like
be
doing
cathartic
it.
In a way for them because, again, you're putting it in the point of view where if they had to break it down in their head, like, it's their job. Like,
yeah.
It was, you know what I mean? Like, it's not the mind of a serial killer. It's the,
right.
the mind of...
And it's in the name of, like, guarding your country, right? Mm. As well, which is, like, also part of your obligation to an extent.
Yeah. No, and the reason why I ask this question is because we talk about the Civil War and how brothers would cross battlefields to, you meet with other brothers from the other side of it. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, I always found it fascinating. Like, you were able to, like, 1 minute you're shooting this guy in the face and then 2 minutes later you're shaking his hand saying, hey, come on, let's go do lodge. What the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, it's...
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's...
You know what I mean? Like, it's just wild to me to, like, you know, be all fire and brimstone with somebody 1 minute, and next minute you're shaking their hand, like, and you're having lodge meetings, and you're taking care of them if they're wounded, and they're...
Now,
so do you think if, like, because obviously they didn't have, like, sweet rifle scopes back then, right?
Right.
So do you think if the Civil War happened today where, like, you could see people from the other side and you're looking down the scope and you see a square and compass on the dude's
right
shirt that's shooting you from across the way, would that change whether or not you would still pop him?
See, I don't know. I would probably go for the guy with the fife, though, because I just want to hear the pitch change when he's like, skee-lee-lee.
Right.
That's
like
fucked
it,
up.
Like, it wouldn't be your first target that you acquire, right? You know?
It's
I don't know, though.
Yeah.
It depends. If this dude's got...
But also depends, too, because it's like, is he wearing it?
Oh, right. Is it even legit or not?
Right. Yeah,
And
it could be like a clandestine guy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It could be somebody that just throws it on and say, "Oh, they're not shooting at these guys."
I mean, right. If it was in modern times, if the dude's rearing back, ready to whip a grenade,
right.
Because I can't tell his, I can't confirm his, him to be,
yeah, with a token, a word, or a grip.
From, you know,
oh, he's gonna get a token, all right.
You have been reinvested of all metals.
Here's my 762 token coming your way.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, listen, Masons want to meet God. I'm just going to help. I'm just going to arrange a meeting. That's all.
Yeah. You sure you don't have anything metallic on you? You do now.
Yeah. Matt Goldswizzle. It'd be nice if you can get Sean on as well. Yeah, he had a great podcast. He's a fantastic podcast, and he blew up. Like, he's blown up. He's at Taco Carlson and everything. He ain't going to worry about our little pissant freaking podcast. I mean, it'd be nice, but I never expected Art Del Cueto either, but one day I'm getting a Facebook message. He's a Border Patrol agent.
Okay.
He's actually, there's a picture of him that's, I've told this story before, but I'll tell it to you too. He was with Donald Trump. He was the vice president of Border Patrol agents, and he was on a press conference with President Trump at the time wearing his square and compasses, and people were just lambasting him in the comments. And I went on the full fucking offensive and on the podcast was like, you know, these fucking guys just wearing a square and compass. He's proud to be a Freemason. You know, he's a patriot. He's a Border Patrol agent. He ain't, you know, I don't remember what the fucking meme was. It was something about the Border Patrol isn't trying to keep people out, they're trying to keep us in or whatever. And I just went full nuclear in this. And sure as shit, I got a Facebook message one day. It's him. He's like, hey man, thank you for defending me. Now I'm looking, I'm like, bullshit. Like, I'm thinking it's some troll because, you know, there was Jim Rafferty doing the whole freaking Orson O'Bear. I thought there was somebody fucking with me. So he's like, nah, man, it's really me. And then he sent me a picture. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, it's actually him. Like, you know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
That was fucking wild. Like, I was not expecting, because again, when we first started this years ago, we were just bullshit. I mean, granted, we got nobody really watching now, but then again, it's a nice day. But when we put it on Apple,
right.
But yeah, it was fucking wild that somebody reached out to me. Scott Walter. We've had conversation with Scott Walter. I never would have thought that would have freaking happened. Pat Miletich, UFC. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Joe Zinio told me about Pat. I was like, I didn't even.
He called Joe a pussy. Just want to throw that out there. He did. I just need to throw that out there again.
That's funny.
But yeah, no, I'd love to have that dude on, the Reaper. Like, what a fucking nickname, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Reaper.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's a badass nickname. I mean, you're the Creeper. But, I mean. Anyway, what do you say, brothers? You think we wrap this one up?
Yeah, I think we did pretty good.
Yeah.
Not bad.
All right, brothers. Sunday morning. Thank you all for tuning in. I'll catch you on Apple as well for the Freemates Podcast. I'm Right Worship Brother George Mudry signing off.
Brother Alex DeFranzo signing off.
Brother Matt.
Thanks for tuning in. Have a good one, everyone.